Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 119. This is Captain Mike, or Mike, or the Eye of Mike, if that conversation may come up later. But and we're here on our Heroes Asylum, like I said, issue 119, of course, with Kane, who we do this with every other week right now, because we're busy. Kane's got his other podcast working on. I've got another one that's getting ready to come out soon. So yeah, it's a few other ones. So we've been kind of keeping this down to every other week, and so we're here to do it like we always do.
Like we always do, man. I like the OG style. We're going back Sunday nights.
Yes,
Sunday nights, man. So it's good. It's good to see you. Good to see you. The Eye of Mike is there. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Sorry, I was having fun. I was having fun with my. With my camera earlier, and I felt like I was like sitting like super close, and I just zoomed in on my eyeball, and that's where we were.
And I was trying to convince him to do the show with
just nothing but
just eyeball.
Kane in the Eye.
Kane in the Eye, like that's my fifth podcast, Kane in the Eye, which
would be coming. Or could be a good play off of King and I, and it could be Kane and I.
Kane and I. That's it.
It'll just be a different eyeball every show.
Every week, it's just like it could be a different voice. Like anybody could be the Eye. It's just eyeball. Sweet, oh god, that'll be a late night show.
Yeah,
I'll try. I gotta try for the Facebook Live show.
I know Kane's been trying to do a Facebook Live so we can have like a little bit more interaction. Speaking of live, did you finally get a chance to like the that one page I sent to you on Twitch? For the Star Wars Ultimate Edition.
I did.
Did you? I know. Yeah. Look for it, guys, out there. It's Revenge of the Sith, Star Wars Revenge of the Sith Ultimate Edition. And it's basically what they take is it's this group on Twitch, and they actually edit together the last three episodes of Season 7 Clone Wars and put it in chronological time to link up with Revenge of the Sith, because pretty much that last three episodes links with the movie. Mm-hmm. Certain things happen in that movie, that like link directly to Revenge of the Sith and Clone Wars, and that. And they took their time and edited it together, did an amazing job. If anybody can check them out, they're doing, I think, all month long. They're doing it like every other day. One starting at 4, and then I think another one starting at like 7 p.m. So check that out. It's 4 hours, but it's 4 hours well worth it.
Yeah. I mean, if you can sit through Justice League for 4 hours, you can sit through this. I got to say, it's worth it, though. It's worth it. The way they did it, pretty seamless.
Yeah, yeah. I love the fact that they did the swiping edits, when they changed the scenes and everything. They stuck to the same swipe feature.
There was a particular scene of guys, spoilers if you haven't watched Clone Wars, but whatever, Anakin versus Vader, but a big spoiler reveal, but there's a scene. And I think it's Ahsoka, might have been Ahsoka fighting Maul, I'm not sure, but it was a scene where basically it mirrors where Anakin turns to the dark side. And you remember how you saw it during the Clone Wars, like you heard like the voices and it says, like, no, I got to save him. And then it shows that scene after that scene, which is, I forgot the scene. I'm trying to think in my head which scene it was in Clone Wars, but it was that where it shows the animated, then it shows like Anakin, like just bending the knee to Palpatine and, so that's why I liked that. I was like, wow, whoever did this is a huge sweaty, and they got some good editing skills. Maybe they should throw some resumes in Hollywood, because God knows a lot of bad movie editors out there. So
yeah, they, like I said, yeah, I think they did a great job. Also, since we're kind of talking about Star Wars, did you see the Star Wars Anime Visions trailer that dropped on Thursday?
I was shocked how good it was.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to drop. It's a legitimate one. It's coming through Disney Plus. And basically, it just looks like a wave of Japanese creators are just getting their chance. I've seen some of the fan made anime versions they have out there on YouTube, but they're great. I don't know if it's the same creators that Disney got together with them and said, hey, we want to do a series. It's on Disney Plus. It's supposed to be debuting in September, and of course, I mean, it's a great nod towards Lucas and his love for Kurosawa. That was one of his big influences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, the animation looks really stellar. I think one scene they showed almost like a, like you were saying, a samurai battle happening outside with lightsabers.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like you just said, it was he loved Kurosawa, so why not? This is a match made in heaven, and there was no release date. I don't think they showed that.
September is what they have listed. There's not a date in September, but I do know with the releasing of Loki that they have made the comment that pretty much Wednesday will be release day for everything going forward in Disney Plus. I don't know if it's just Marvel. But the last announcement when Loki came out, they said that they were Wednesday's the new Friday is how they termed it.
Okay.
But yeah, it looks like it says each one of these studios will be approaching it with like some hardcore fans. There's a full breakdown of the shorts. There's like goodness, let me see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 10 different series that they're going to be using. And it's the way they call it. It's basically the story of twins of the dark side for one of the stories. And then there's another one they call it the Tatooine Rhapsody, a kind of a rock opera style. So there's like a whole bunch of different ones out there.
Hmm. Oh,
They have the dual Tatooine Rhapsody, the twins, the Elder, the Ninth Jedi, which will be interesting. If I don't know if they'll go with the full thing with the ninth sister.
I don't think they'll do that.
That might be an interesting kind of little background story, like of what she was.
Jedi, that's interesting, though. I mean, like I said, they can. The thing I like about Star Wars nowadays, and I think we discussed it long before the new trilogy ended, is now instead of making the world as it was so small, they're opening it up to everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like something I've really enjoyed about, like with Mando. It's like, you know, we're not going back and visiting the same worlds. We're visiting the same worlds that Mando's gone to visit. But we're not going back, you know, every time to Tatooine. We're not going back to Hoth. We're not, you know, we did see an ice planet, but it was a different ice planet than Hoth. So,
yeah, there's a lot of ice planets out there, not just Hoth, you know. And what you're doing also in Mandalorian is when they went back to Tatooine, you know, they didn't go to the same city. They didn't go to Mos Eisley. They went to another part. Mm-hmm. What was it, like Lost Eisley or something like that? It was another part of the Tatooine area, which is very desolate. But I like when they do that. They actually give you that nice little nod, like, yeah, we're going back to Tatooine, but not Mos Eisley. You're going to the other side of the planet, so that's actually
cool. They do mention Mos Eisley, but that's about it. You know that they're around that area. So
yeah, I just like when they give us nods like that. Just makes my little geek heart putter. Like, yay, it's still out there. So I got something else. Speaking of the Star Wars tip, Patty Jenkins, she has given us an update on her Rogue Squadron movie. Remember that project that was announced not too long ago? Basically, Patty says she is knee deep into it right now. They've been on Zoom telephone calls with Lucasfilm, and everybody's pretty much involved with the script and all that. So set designs, and yeah, so they're working on it. I think there was some speculation for a while that this was not going to come, you know, because the performance of Wonder Woman 84, people said, "Oh, it sucked. It wasn't great." It is what it was. It was a good film, but it wasn't the first Wonder Woman. I think we can both agree to that.
We can agree to that, yeah. But I think also a lot of it had to do with the hype and the time that it came out. I mean, you got to realize last year, I don't count last year in the movie echelon of anything because last year was a wash. Because you had people not wanting to go out, not wanting to do things. So again, you didn't have the excitement of going to the theater. You always have to have that excitement. I mean, think of any movie last year that came out. Did any of them like go, wow, that's an amazing movie. I've got a nothing. I can't think of one movie that came out last year. But if it was released in the theaters and the fanfare that comes with it, the advertising and all, I mean, everything that, you know, that goes along with it, I think you probably would have gotten a better feel for it. But now I had never heard anything about them having issues. I just never heard that she was on board and they were going, you know, full bore with it. I didn't hear
anything. Well, I heard that they're backtracking on some stuff. And you know, the one thing is you never hear something in the news, you think it's gone. Well, she's still on track to doing it. So apparently,
Gen Xer, man. You're a Gen Xer too. I still appreciate the times that we knew when we didn't hear shit about this. About,
yeah.
I don't need to hear everything. In fact, I'm almost sort of taking a stance like one of our friends. She avoids any news lately about anything. And that's what I'm like, okay, I'll listen to a little bit, but then I'll back myself off like, hey, I don't want to hear too much about it. Okay, it's still going. That's all I care.
And she avoids our show like the plague.
Well, it's because we talk about stuff that kind of spoils sometimes, you know, and I don't blame her.
I do.
Come on. So, but yeah, so that's looking forward. Another big one coming out for you book nerds out there. The Wheel of Time is getting ready to drop. If nobody knows what the Wheel of Time is, check it out. It is a large book series fantasy book series. Kind of falls in the realm of, they call it Grimdark, kind of the Game of Thrones-esque, but Wheel of Time is a massive, massive story. In fact, it started off with Robert Jordan was the original author, and it went so long that he actually passed away, and there was another author that was working alongside of him. And then Brandon Sanderson picked it up, and Brandon Sanderson has become his own, you know, writer on his own, you know, in his own right. But they are taking Wheel of Time, which is a massive world as far as scope goes, almost on par with Lord of the Rings, which also is coming out in Prime as well. So I mean, Prime's got its fingers in some massive world building going on, especially in the fantasy realm. So, but yeah, we did get a teaser trailer from Amazon this week that it will be released for this year.
So yeah, Amazon's kicking ass this year too. I just saw what was it, The World or The War of Tomorrow, the Chris Pratt film.
Did you get a chance to watch it?
Yeah, I literally just finished it before we signed on here. It's pretty good. It's a popcorn movie. So that's what I went and think. It's almost like it replaces kind of like it's kind of weird how it fell on Independence Day when I watched it Independence Day, and I had those Independence Day kind of vibes by watching it. So it was fun. And they're kicking ass, and Amazon Prime looks like they're putting money into these films. So they're,
and then of course they just picked up MGM, so they're going to have the rights to, you know, Bond and Stargate, and I mean just ridiculous amounts of property that they'll. Can't wait to see what Prime's going to do. I might have to start my Prime.
Prime. I might have to get a Prime account now. So
I got a question for you. I know it hit the fan. The fandoms all went nutty. What's your take on losing the Slave One title for the Star Wars merchandise?
Didn't bother me as much. It didn't. Like I you kind of figured that name has been around for so often. And here's the thing that you brought up, which is actually brilliantly said, is they never really mentioned what the name of the ship was. It was just like that was basically Kenner saying, "Hey, let's just name it Slave One."
Well, I think it was named Slave One in like their background, like in the, you know, if you go to the Star Wars encyclopedias, like they have a whole bunch of them, the character encyclopedias and the vehicle, it's named Slave One there. That's the only place it's named is in those books.
But it was never named in the films or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was always there, and I'm like, okay, we're taking away Slave One, and people are like, oh, they got all pissy and moany. I'm like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's still Boba Fett's ship. It's not like they're changing his ship.
Yeah. I loved it. I was watching.
Like, come on.
Yeah. I was watching TikTok and somebody's like, oh my God, they're ruining my fandom. I'm like, no, they didn't. That does nothing to my fandom. I still enjoy Star Wars just as much as I did before they changed it. So,
That's a little silly. That's just a little. We're getting a little bit too sensitive with that. Come on now. It's just the name of a ship. It's not a big deal. It's still Boba's ship. Don't worry about it. It's still going to be there.
Yeah.
It'll probably be there in December when you see the Book of Boba Fett. So
yeah, and then if you actually listen or you look at some of the toys that they're out there, you know, like Luke's ship. You know, his call sign is Red 5, but his ship was also named Red 5 when they came to merchandise. So it's like you're gonna. But that doesn't change by the fact that if they start calling it Luke's X-Wing now, I'm going to, you know, be upset about it. It doesn't change anything.
Yeah, it's almost like another example I'll give you is Poe Dameron's X-Wing fighter. It was a black – his call sign was Black One, right? And I guess people took issue with, why is it called Black One? I go, it doesn't really matter. I mean, like, it's just a black X-Wing fighter with some orange trim.
Yeah, the whole thing. They were named after their colors. If you looked at Luke's wing, it was he was part of the Red Wing. There was yellow for like the Y wings. I mean, they all were based off of color.
Yeah, it's just come on now. Now we're arguing about names and color now.
Yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
It just bugs the hell out of me, man. But
all right, so what do you got next?
What did you think of the Masters of the Universe trailer? We finally got it. I mean, the first one was kind of cool. I dug it with the, you know, I'm a Hero song. I like it. But this trailer, we actually had story.
Yeah, we saw story. We saw interaction. We heard voices. Mm-hmm. You know, beforehand, it was just the music and just, you know, it was a what's the word they call it? Like a flash?
It's
flash
like a
trailer?
I think it's a montage, quick montage.
Yeah, but no, there's another term for it. I'm trying to remember the actual, like, where it's like just nothing but flashes of images. But yeah, that's. And I loved seeing that, and then this time we get to hear how the voices are, you know, and that was something I was looking forward to, especially something you were worried about because you're like, man, Mark Hamill's doing Skeletor. Is he going to sound like Joker, you know,
that's what I was concerned. That was a big concern of mine. And thankfully those fears are gone.
Well, like I said, I think because Joker was done so long ago, Mark's vocal tenor and timbre have changed just with age. All of ours does. You know, so he is sort of doing a bit of Joker, but I think with his voice and in the quality, his voice has changed over the years. Because even in the laugh's what really does it. You can hear the Joker in the laugh.
But. Yeah, you can hear. Of course, I mean it's Hamill, man. How can you not hear the Joker laugh, Hamill? But we got some story about it. Apparently, this takes place. I guess they said 40 years after the original series. So that's still the original series, but apparently
40 years. Well, no, it's taking place 40 years after the original series really ran.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, I don't know why I said that.
Because I mean, Adam's like in his teens now. He's still Adam. He's still like a young Prince Adam. So,
but even though, and if it takes place during the OG series, wasn't he older in the OG series?
No. I think they were. But yeah, he was. Yeah, I think he was. Yeah, because he was like. I think he was in his teens, and then he kind of like. Aged up
it's
a little
so
bit
weird too. Because he shouldn't be a prince anymore. Shouldn't he be like a king by now?
not unless dad's died. Just because you're a prince, you gotta wait till dad to kick the bucket.
Oh no, some Game of Thrones politics.
Well, yeah, that's your problem. You're too much of Game of Thrones lately.
That's what it is. And the funny thing is, Lena Headey, she's the voice of Evil Lynn. So there's another Game of Thrones tie in there. I was like, oh my god, Cersei is fucking Evil Lynn. How perfect can this be? Mm-hmm. But so we got some story. Basically, magic is being lost in Eternia, little by little, and. The focal point, I guess, they're going with is Teela, which not a big deal to me. She didn't take away from the trailer. Like, I thought she kind of added to some stuff. So it's she was there in the main OG series. The only thing you're doing now is you're just putting her on Front Street.
Yeah, putting a little bit more focus on her character, which is fine because honestly, I really don't want to see another retelling of He-Man. I've already seen it. We had the 80s. We had the early, what was it, 10 years ago, 15 years ago? We had that one series. I've seen the centralized He-Man. That's great that they're putting it in. I mean, that's really how the culture is right now. You know, you want to include everybody, and that's. But I think the biggest threat was a lot of folks felt like it was a threat the way they attacked it. But last year, when Kevin Smith was talking about it and originally promoting it, the story came out that it was focused on Teela, and we see that it's not. It's a mix. It's
not. I don't know why people got it up where I didn't. I'm like, who cares? It's still called Masters of the Universe. It's not called Teela and the Masters of the Universe.
There's some issue with people, having to deal with change, and some folks can change it, and some folks can't. Again, I'm the first one to admit, I do have a little. I pause for a moment. I'm like, wait, that's not like what I like. I'm not comfortable with that. But I sit and I think, I'm like, yeah, okay, I can deal with the change. I like it. So not really a big change I've ever come across like in things I grew up with that I'm like, I don't like that anymore. I'm never gonna watch that again because I'll just look at it and go, okay, well that's the new story that's being told.
Yeah.
At least I'm getting some more of that property.
Exactly. Exactly. So what you got there, sir?
Well, we kind of talked about Mark Hamill and kind of doing the Joker voice. And you and I watched something this week. What did you what did you think about part one of The Long Halloween?
I watched the first 40 minutes of it. I told
you haven't finished yet?
No. Hold on. Let me finish. I watched the first 40 minutes, and then I left and went to the gym, go work out, and I came back, and then I finished the whole thing. Because I just restarted the whole thing because you sent me the movie. So I watched it all the way through because I just didn't want to pick it up where I'd left off. And you said it was the best adaptation that DC has done from novel to screen. For me, it was always The Dark Knights Part 1 and 2. This one is better. This one is more true. The ending, I don't know how they did it, which I don't know how the book ended, like in which book that Poison Ivy shows up or she showed up.
Well, no. Well, it's not ended. Right now we're at part one because they go by the holiday. So it ended on New Year's. So right after that, I think, is Valentine's, April Fool's, and then I'm trying to remember what the holidays are. I can't remember right off the top of my head. But yeah, that's what they're going to do. Ivy shows up during Valentine's Day in the book. So yeah, that's why we haven't gotten a chance to see her yet.
But if you watch it, there's a little post-credit scene that she does show up.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, but like, as far as like the main story that we saw.
Well, the story is good, man. It's really, really, like, it's very true to the adaptation. I think one of the things I was actually, my brother, he watched it recently, and he's like, dude, this is like a lot of like, it reminds me of a Nolan Batman film. Like, oh, well, Nolan took a lot of stuff from his movies straight from the Long Halloween. Yeah.
Not only did he do it, I know the new Batman, they're all like, oh, we're reading the Long Halloween. Oh, man, yeah, everybody uses that as a reference.
It's like before, like the big book for Batman was always the Dark Knight, yeah. Dark Knight Returns.
Now it's
like the Long Halloween. It's like, oh, everything Long Halloween, Long Halloween, Long Halloween, which is, it's a good one to start off.
But let's try something new.
I agree. Let's go somewhere else with different. There's thousands of different Batman stories we could do. Let's steer away from the Dark Knight Returns, unless you're going to do a straight adaptation with that.
Yeah.
Steer away from the Long Halloween after we see these films.
Right now we're seeing a straight adaptation. I love it, and I don't want to see another movie based off, you know, using material from that. The only thing I thought was a little different, and I wasn't upset about it. I kind of enjoyed it because she kind of helped navigate a little bit. There was a little bit more Catwoman in there.
A lot more.
I mean, she is involved, but like, I think the scene, in the alley before he runs into, Solomon Grundy, and you see those three thugs going after him. Yeah. That wasn't in the book, but that brought her in to kind of help her out, you know, show that she was there. I thought Jensen did an amazing job. The girl that's doing the voice, and you know, she passed away after she got done with this. She was on Glee. She was an actress on Glee. Yeah, if you watch at the very end, it says, you know, in dedication
yeah,
to
that's
the voice actress that did Catwoman. Yeah, she passed.
Oh,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's just her last thing. Yeah, it was. I'm trying to remember. Naya, I think was her name, and she went out. Yeah. She went out into a lake with her son and. Apparently she got caught up in a rip curtain, drowned. So yeah, but it was I think it happened last year, like early last year.
Yeah, it's about last year, yeah. But so. Yeah, her voice is great. I thought the voice acting was incredible. I like Jensen. To me, there's a guy who's very noticeable, especially in public, especially where he's been Supernatural. People have said, "Oh, he's the Great Red Hood," which he is. I thought he was going to, again, like Mark Hamill and Skeletor, I thought, well, he's Jensen Ackles. He's going to ham it up. He's going to sound like Red Hood. Really didn't.
Mm-mm.
Didn't hear that at all.
Red Hood sounded like Ackles, this or not.
I had to listen a couple times. Like, is that Jensen really voicing Batman?
Yeah,
like,
I think the only time I heard Jensen was during the moments Batman was questioning himself.
The inner monologue stuff.
The moment when Harvey and Gordon and him meet in the alleyway after Roman's nephew dies, like towards the end, mm-hmm. and you hear him like questioning himself, and he's like sad, like there's very this melancholy, you know, Batman, and that's when I heard Jensen. It's like, okay, he's letting himself out basically at that point. But yeah, when he played Batman and did the Batman voice, I got lost. I didn't know, yeah.
I was like, well, that's Batman. That's mm-hmm. it. Like, that's just it. Like he does a great job, and I can't wait to hear him in part two. And the guy who voiced Carmine Falcone, I thought he was really good. He added something to Falcone, which I liked because Falcone is one of my favorite villains, which I think in many of the Batman mythos, he's been kind of underused as far as live action goes. I didn't think they've given enough.
Well, that was Jack Quaid, by the way.
Was that Jack Quaid doing?
Yeah, that was Jack Quaid. Yeah, doing Falcone. Yeah.
Yep. I didn't know that was Jack Quaid.
Yeah, because you had Jack Quaid. You had Josh. Dumal doing Harvey Dent.
Wow.
Naya Riviera, that's the young lady that did a Catwoman.
Josh is doing it. Harvey Dent, huh? I couldn't even tell. Yeah. And I know Josh's voice pretty well.
And then you had Troy Baker, who's basically, I mean, this guy, he is heavily in all over DC in the voiceover world. He has been all over the video games, the Lego series, the movies. He's done Justice League, the Battle for Metropolis. He was Batman Unlimited. He's done the Joker before. He was actually the Joker's voice in Batman Arkham Origins.
Yep.
So, I mean, he's at his time.
is he voicing Joker in this film?
Yeah, that's who. Yeah, that's okay. That's why it sounded so much like Hamill. That was my one thing. I was like, man, he really does sound like Hamill in this. And that's when I had to look it up and see who it was. I'm like, oh, well, that's why, because he's
but then he does it.
Yeah, there's like moments, like obviously the laugh. Back to the laugh. You know, that's definitely Joker-esque. But yeah, the rest of it was.
He's a big Hamill mark, or him and Hamill are hanging out, because there's a lot of Hamill in his performance, especially as Joker. So good too. And then we get to see the Calendar Man. We saw these other Batman villains, which I kind of love. Solomon Grundy's just there. I'm not sure how big of a part of it he plays in the novel, but I know
what you've seen so far is exactly what he has said. Other than the fact, I love the one line that Jensen says, "Hey, we agree. I agree. I know we agreed that, you know, nobody comes down here and bothers you, and you don't come out and bother us." That little moment didn't really happen in the book. It was more kind of an implied thing. But pretty much everything he says, just mumbling to himself, Solomon Grundy, born on Monday. That's all you're getting. Yeah, and that's, they did exactly everything. I literally had the book with me when I was watching it, because I was like, are they going to do anything different? Are they going to swift, you know, make a left turn here, do something different? They added a little bit. They maybe shortened up some of the stories, maybe put something ahead of something else in the story order, but it really didn't change it that much. But yeah, for the most part, like I said, after I got done watching, I was like, man, that was a great adaptation. You can literally have that book in your hand and follow page for page.
Now, I don't know what this place, it takes place in Batman's mythos. I'm not sure if it's a year two, year three thing, but the one thing I did like is a conversation that him and Jim had. And when they're interrogating somebody, he's basically beating the hell out of him. And Jim, like, backs him. He's like, look, you know, some things you just can't do with your fists. Mm-hmm. You know, we actually got to do some real detective work here.
Yeah.
And then it flashes towards the cave, him and Alfred, and he's actually doing the detective work. Like, he's actually putting, like, names on a board and all these faces, and he has, like, one, like, blacked out. And then Alfred even says, he's like, look, yeah, you protect Gotham, you can fight. But, you know, to be this, you actually have to put in the legwork. You got to be a detective.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's pretty much what Bruce even said that to himself. He's like, I thought all I was really was doing is I was just going to be scaring the thugs, and the fear of me would change the world and change the Gotham. He's like, I didn't realize I had to do this. I think even Harvey makes a comment. There's a few times, and it's great to see Batman, the non-detective Batman.
Yeah.
Here, you know, and seeing him basically becoming the detective, because we've always seen him becoming the physical specimen and becoming Batman physically, but we've never seen the mind become that. We've always just assumed he was always that way.
Yeah, and especially in the live action films as well, they have barely touched on that. No, dude, he's the world's greatest detective. I think you saw maybe a couple scenes in The Dark Knight, if I can recall, where he was doing detective work with a bullet.
Yeah, you don't see that questioning. That's the one thing you and I have always had a conversation about. Like, one of the reasons why I'm not a big Batman fan is things just seem to work out exactly. Oh, this twist. It's almost like telling a little kid a story, and the little kid's like, well, no, this happened, though, so that's why you're not going to be able to win. And, well, then you change the story, and then, well, no, it happened this way. He's always got an out. This, I love the fact that he doesn't have an out. He's hurt. He's hurting. Not physically, he's hurting emotionally and mentally, like, how I can't do this, I don't know how to do this. And I if they go that route with the Batman that's coming out soon, I would love that.
I think they will, because they said it's year two, so he's not going to be the world's greatest detective by year two. I mean, yeah. I don't think so.
Let's hope.
If they're gonna do something like this, and they're basing a lot of stuff from The Long Halloween, then maybe, just maybe, I might have to watch this movie.
Yeah, I might. Yeah, well, we're going to watch it anyways. Don't be trying to fool yourself. But I know I would be more. I think I would be more interested and more open if that's kind of the Batman we're going to get. Yes, he is young, and we're going to see not the action packed one, but we're going to see more of the things that go on behind the scenes and behind the mind of Batman. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people out there that don't like that, because, you know, they want that action. They need that action. But I want to see that. I want to see the growth of Batman, you know?
I want to see the growth of his mind. I want to see him expand his horizons, like deducing things. Like, the animated series did a good job of that, where you see Batman being a detective. Like, yeah, he can scare the hell out of people and beat the crap out of people, but you know what? He does the work. He's like, look, I have this evidence here. Like, I think there was a scene. I'm actually rewatching the animated series again. And there's a particular scene you see that he goes to a crime scene. Everybody leaves, and him and Jim Gordon are there. And he's basically just picking up. He's picking the evidence of charge. And Jim looks at him. He's like, so what do you think? He's like, well, I'm going to take all this stuff back to my lab, analyze it. I'll have you back in 24 hours. So he's basically his own crime lab. And basically, the cave is just not like for, you know, gassing up the Batmobile and his Batwing and having cool suits. He's actually deducing things in there, and that's what I love.
What was the Bat book that came out last year that I was really raving about? I just didn't continue to pick it up, but it was more of the detective stuff. Like, he goes into this one room where like, there's this murder happening. He, like, sets up everybody.
Man, that was a Batman grave
something? Yes, that's one, yeah.
Which I didn't finish.
Yeah, me either. I was like, I mean, I really liked it because I was like, man, this is him getting into the – this is Detective Batman that we want to see. And, yeah, I got to go back and pick that up. But, yeah, make sure you guys do check that out. It's not on HBO Max yet, so you guys can get it on your streaming service. You can buy it in Walmart. I think it's like $20 for the movie. You can get digital copies of it out. You know, so just, you know, check that out. Well worth it. Definitely we're going to give a big, you know, at least I'm going to throw a five straight jacket up there.
We'll do a five straight jacket. I think we're doing a review in that movie in September.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think we were talking about doing that because we have a Batman month for the Midnight Movies channel.
Cool. Yeah, which I'm about to change some of the movies, actually. A couple ones I'm going to add.
So what do you got next?
Well, guess what? One of my favorite series, Lovecraft Country, was canceled this week. Oh, Lovecraft Country, of course, stars, I think, Johnny Majors. Yes, Johnny Majors, who was cast recently as Kang the Conqueror. If you guys didn't see it, it was basically, I think, 13 episodes. Really good actors in the film, in the series as well, and a lot of them are going to get jobs after this because it was so well done, it was so well written. But yeah, canceled after one season. So what'd you think? Did you end up
finish it? Oh yeah, no, yeah, I finished watching it. Yeah, and again, it's one novel, anyways. They told their story. I would have been interested to see where they went with it, but that's where it is right now. There's only one book out there for it. It's not like the Wheel of Time or the Stand, where there's like these all these series of books or anything that you can go, you know, look up and get more material from, or The Expanse or anything like that. You know, you have 10 novels to pull from. It was one book, and they finished the book. So kind of hard to, you know, I mean, and you don't want to go too far. You haven't discovered it yet. But the show that you're currently watching, you know, the book series, it hasn't been finished, but the series has been finished. In the last season, a lot of folks were not happy because where it went. I think where they were at, that was fine. They got that story out, and I think it was great. He's going to be busy anyways. He's got a contract with the Marvel, and you and I have been talking about, especially with Loki, because Loki's definitely hinting at getting it more into the multiverse, because there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the multiverse breaking off and these variants and stuff. And I got a funny feeling that we're going to see Kang in this one. I think we're going to be introduced to Kang, so that way he's ready to be there for Ant-Man. So he's not like, okay, who is this guy? Kind of just like they did with Thanos. They kind of introduced him throughout multiple movies, but you never really understood who he was until like the last movie. And I think that's kind of what they're going to do here. We're going to be sort of introduced to Kang and what his motivation is, and then he's going to be dropped into Ant-Man. So we already know what the villain's motivation is at this point.
Which is kind of a cool thing that I like that Marvel does. They drop these other Easter egg villains and like, hey, he's here, he's out there, but, you know, we're just letting you know that's the big bad guy. And actually, Marvel's got balls doing it, because you would think, hey, I'm going to lead him with my best villain, then lead up to the big one. They showed you the big bad in the first film, but they were like, nah, we're going to tease you until we get there. We're going to build it up. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do with Kang. And by the way, the showrunner for Lovecraft Country, his name is Misha Green. He's going to be busy quite as well. He's going to be directing Tomb Raider 2 for MGM. So, and actually, the last Tomb Raider film wasn't that bad. So,
okay. I'm not a Tomb Raider fan. Never was. I think I watched the first one, and that was it, with Angelina, and that was about the only one I watched. I was like, okay. I was never a big gamer on Tomb Raider.
It wasn't bad, so he's doing that. So check that out.
But I mean, what you were saying beforehand, you know, about, you know, introducing. I mean, that's the whole thing about having a great multiverse and a great, you know, or not multiverse, but a great, you know, world, that world building. You can do that. You can introduce somebody and drop him five movies later. That's, you know, the beauty of it. Sorry, guys, we're recording on 4th of July, so there's if you hear any booming, that's
there's some fireworks.
I just had some going off out back. So yeah, I was like, man.
Happy 4th to everybody, yeah. By the way. I forgot to say that.
don't forget to leave your milk and cookies out for Captain America tonight.
What you got, Nick?
Did you see the trailer for Foundation, the new series that's coming out on Apple TV?
I did not.
Check it out. It's amazing. Foundation is an Asimov book. And if anybody doesn't know who Asimov is, Definitely do some research. He is the creator of many great movies in book series. He was a guy that wrote I, Robot. Mm-hmm. So I mean he's been Isaac Asimov. Goodness, I go through his. He's just well known for his science fiction novels. But Foundation is one of the novels that really started like the rebirth of sci-fi. This was a huge influence on George Lucas when it came to Star Wars. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you try to read Foundation, I'm going to give everybody a fair warning. Extremely dry. Very, very dry. You have to realize that like when it was written, goodness, that was, God, when did this come out? 1942. All right. 42 through, and it was published through like 1942 through 1993. So the original one, a little tough to read. Like I said, it's a little dry. Just like if you go back and you read Lord of the Rings right now, it's a real hard read because of the language and the way it is spoken. The English of that time is spoken. I know it's only, almost 80 years ago. But that that English is a little different from what the English that we speak. So it's that's just a little different. But I'm in the middle of reading it right now. It's one of my side ones. It's only like 200 pages long. It's a really short read for just the first book. But make sure you guys check it out. But yeah, watch that trailer. It's amazing, just beautiful. And basically, the whole concept is that it's kind of a ruling class. You can feel a little bit of Dune influence on this. But you have this ruling class of these leaders, and they never die or they don't go away because they clone themselves over and over again. So when you're watching the trailer, you see this older guy sitting around around this room with tubes of a baby, and one of the women's like, "Well, you're not supposed to be here." He's like, "Well, I want to see myself being born," because he's seeing his new body for when he's ready to die, where his conscience will go to. Mm-hmm. So very, if you guys are familiar with like a lot of the legend stuff in Star Wars, the cloning processes. So,
yes. Well, I just saw something recently. Superman and Lois. They did that. They actually were switching around subconsciouses of Kryptonians going to earthly bodies. So yeah, that's where I saw that. I'll have to check it out though. Check out the Foundation, kids.
Yeah, definitely. Again, it's on Apple TV, so it's Apple TV's done really good so far.
I'll have to check it out, man. Let's see what I got here. Damn it, Mike McFarlane's going to make me go bankrupt this year. He released two new figures. I'm not sure if you saw these yet. Basically, it's a Demon Etrigan and a infected King Shazam. There's only two of them, but the Etrigan one, I'm not sure if you can pull it up. Check out superherohype.com because they're both there. But the Etrigan one looks really, as I'll say, metal. And I think that's what they call him, the Demon Etrigan from the Metal series. He's all kind of armored up. Even the Shazam on the Infected Shazam, as they call him, King Shazam, he's got the weird yellow eyes, and he looks crazy looking. But these two figures are coming out, release date, by August 1st, it says. And price point is $19. But they look really cool. McFarlane has knocked it out of the park lately. He's actually, he's releasing his Justice League 9. Right now, that's out. Not in stores anywhere near here, which kind of makes me mad. But that's out. And now these two figures are going to be the next ones that will follow those. So that should be coming sometime in August.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get the Etrigan. So.
You like it, right?
I haven't seen it yet, but it's Etrigan, so I'm going to get it anyways.
That's what I'm saying. I don't have an Etrigan. Like, the Etrigans that are out there, like, he has the weird Robin booties, and he's kind of like hunchback. This one, he's like just standing up with a sword that's armored up. Looks really cool. I'm shocked they didn't do like a Jason Blood and an Etrigan, but maybe they'll do that sometime later on. Who knows?
And Shazam was actually kind of cool looking too. I'm gonna pick that one up just for the heck of it. But yeah, no, I definitely like the Etrigan. Yeah,
yeah. Shazam looks kind of crazy though. He was all infected. I think. Well, don't you have an infected one? The infected Nightwing that you picked up?
No, I have the Jokerized Nightwing.
Okay, the difference, I guess. So yeah, check that out. Well, as happy 4th, everybody, as you can hear. Lighting up all the way. So, check those out. Should be up by August 1st. I'll definitely be adding those to my collection down the line.
Yeah, actually, today I was in Walmart. And, of course, I always make my trip. And anybody out there that's listening, and I'm sure you can vouch for it. It doesn't matter where you go. If they have a toy section, you make a walk. you just do.
There's always that
walk. I was going to Walmart, pick up some medicine, and I was like, you know, that's on the other side of the store, but I'm going to go to the toy section anyways. Walk through. There wasn't anything really. The only thing I think they've been coming out with, I want to get in. I wish it came with the mask, but it's the Thomas Wayne Batman. Love it. But I want to wish a mask. Yeah, you could change out the head or put a mask on him or something.
You can. The head pops off. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see an extra head in the.
I don't know. They don't come with extra heads. It's not like Marvel where sometimes they have extra heads. But if you wanted to, the heads do come off.
And
they
have,
yeah, okay. There's.
Get that in mind.
Because I have both action figures. I have the unmasked and the masked one. So. Yeah.
All I can ever find lately is the unmasked one. But as I was going down the row, I also like to check some of the Lego stuff to see if they come out with anything cool. And I've been dying. I guess maybe once I get situated here a little bit more and I've got more room, I want to do the Lego Star Wars helmets. They've got like the series of, you know, Vader, of the TIE Fighter helmets, the Scout Trooper helmets. And then they just – and I don't know if this is a new release or – but first time I've seen it, they've got a Batman Lego head, like just the mask. And they're literally probably about this big. They're not huge. I mean, they're small enough to put on a little tiny shelf. And I was like – it's like $53. I was like, man, that is awesome.
I don't know. To check those out. Well, I'm actually in the market for buying some more Marvel Legends stuff. Remember the gauntlets that I have? The Marvel Legends gauntlets?
Oh, yeah.
The gauntlet. Well, they showed something else. God, I wish I would have brought this up in the news, but I'll tell you guys anyway. They are going to release the Nano Gauntlet, the one that Tony Stark wore in a film, and basically it's going to have the removable gems. I think it's going to be $80 price point, and then a couple months after that, they're going to release the Eye of Amagato, the necklace.
Oh, really? Okay, that's kind of cool. I've seen cheap ones, like, online.
It's like a glow-in-the-dark one. It's like $10. Yeah. But this one's actually like $50, and it'll light up. You can take it out.
Because we were gonna do that last year, actually, for Halloween. We were all talking about it at my job. Because everybody, we wanted to do, like, a theme for our department. And everybody was like, oh, we should come in and do Marvel characters. And kind of can see it, but a little bit. I've got some gray streaks going on in the hair, and one of the girls like, Mike, you need to be Doctor Strange. And I was like, I want to be mad at you, but I can't because I like that idea. I think that's cool.
It is a dope idea.
I just need to, you know, get the full goatee going again. But
you can do it.
Yeah, I was like, but then I looked up. I was like, okay, the cape's this much, and then I was like, oh, okay, the necklace isn't that bad. Okay, that's pretty cheap. So
yeah, I got to figure out which one I'll have to get. Maybe I'll get both of them because they're releasing the Darksaber. Sometime in the next couple of months as well. That's the one lightsaber I really, really want. And so I think it's called Star Wars Legends, Marvel Legends. They have their own line, their props. I got Stormbreaker recently, so that was like $100. But like I said, these things are not, they're replicas and they're not cheapy. Mm-mm. So they have some weight to it too. It's like, yeah. I'll show you real quick. The gauntlet right here. It's plastic, but it still has a little bit of weight on it. I mean, the only bad thing, you just can't take the gems out.
But that thing lights up, though, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what your weight is. It's electronics in there, so.
Yeah, that's it. You just go.
Nice. I'm gonna give you that one for free because I'm getting ready to poke at you. So, I know you weren't a big fan of what the announcement for the next Star or the Transformers series on Netflix, but I hear your tune has changed because somebody was announced to play Optimus Primal.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
It did pique my interest because I still say, I'm sorry, Beast Wars is stupid. I'm sorry. If you guys like it and you grew up with it, it's great, but I think it's dumb. I think it's a tragedy to have that sit down there, the Maximals, the animal stuff. I can do away with it. But. If you put Ron Perlman in anything, that's from like, I go from like, to like, And then you're going to have Peter Cullen coming back as Optimus Prime.
Well, now Peter announced, Hasbro announced that Peter will be Prime until he no longer wants to be Prime, is basically what they said. I think it was a week or 2 weeks ago. They kind of made that announcement. They're like, hey, no, he is Prime until he no longer wants to be Prime.
How old is he now?
Peter's got to be at least in his early 70s.
Let me look.
Maybe 60s?
He's been Prime. Like, he's been...
I mean, you got to realize, I mean, he's been doing Prime, and I mean, that wasn't his first one. He'd been around doing voice work in the 70s.
Peter Cullen is 79 years
yeah,
old.
So almost 80, you know.
Okay. I don't know if he still can do it. I mean, but you can tell, like you said at the beginning of the
film. There's a little bit. Well, I mean, just like when you hear James Earl Jones do Darth Vader, he's still this fucking Vader. I don't care what anybody says, but you can hear there's a little less oomph in the, you know, behind it. And but that, again, like I was saying about Mark Hamill, your timbre and your presence changes in your voice just as you get older, and sometimes it's not that you sometimes you can't push the air out and be as loud or more presence as, you know, as you were before. I was mistaken. This was actually the announcement for the new Transformers movie, live action movie, which will be based off the Maximals and the Predacons, not the animated series. Yeah, I'm reading this article. Yeah, he will be in the up-and-coming Transformers Rise of the Beast live-action movie, which is an adaptation of the popular Beast Wars animated series.
So they're going to have both Prime and the other Prime there?
Most likely. Well, I mean, you're still having – see, that's the thing. I'm not sure how they're going to be doing that. You know, I'm not sure how they're going to overlap that. See, when I first read this article, I thought they were talking about the new Netflix series that's coming out, because – when the second series ended, they literally ended them landing on a prehistoric world, and you saw a reptile that was a robot. And that's why everybody's like, "Oh, they're doing Beast Wars on the third one." Yeah, didn't you see the end of the last one? They literally told you what was going on. So, he's going to be doing the voice on the new live action movie, not the animated movie. Now, Peter Cullen is doing the voice still for anything further for the Transformers, because I know, again, that they're doing the Primal or that. So maybe they may do it. If you ever – I don't know how much you watched on Beast Wars or not.
Very little.
There was a moment where you find out that they were actually that they were on the planet. They were on planet Earth, and they actually found the Ark crash landed, and they found Prime, and they found all the Autobots and Decepticons crash landed on the Ark, and they were, you know, unconscious because they hadn't, you know, been brought back to life. So there is that connection. So that maybe we'll see that, and that's where we'll see that crossover with Peter and Pearl.
Is this going to follow Bumblebee, or is this completely different?
I don't know, because everything I've heard about the Transformers world was that Bumblebee was sort of like a refresh, and that they were going to follow that. So I don't know if they're going to be doing a Prime, you know, a Beast Wars by itself, and then doing a Bumblebee series on its own. I'm not sure. There's a lot of mixed information coming from that.
Yeah, camp, because I'm trying to figure. So the Michael Bay movies are done, right? They're not.
If anything, I think he might be producing. Because I think he was a producer on Bumblebee as well. I mean, he still has his hands in that. You know, they're not going to let him go away.
Write or just direct them anymore. I'm just over it. Especially his designs, the Transformers. I always found that eerie. And actually, when Travis Knight did Bumblebee, one of the things I love, and I think you loved as well, is like, oh, it's the OG. It's the Gen 1 Transformers. Like, they look thick. They're not the spindly little ones that we had from Michael Bay, which, you know.
Yeah, Michael Bay was a producer on Bumblebee. So, I mean, he's still got his hands in, you know, in the pot, basically. Okay. But again, you got to realize, I mean, producers, there are so many producers for this film that they have a little bit of say. You know, maybe, hey, you know, you want to go this or that direction, but it still falls on the writer and the director to, you know, make the property. So
as long as they don't touch anything in the writer's room, please just go away. Don't touch Transformers.
But again, you got to look at, you know, when folks talk about, Favreau and what he does, and he's a producer. Or not Favreau, I'm sorry. Feige, yeah. When you look at Kevin Feige, he's a producer, but everybody throws him, you know, mad credit. But then there are some producers that are just kind of there a little bit. So it's always.
I think what Feige does is basically he gives the directors an outline, a story, like, hey, I want this in there, I want this in there, but the rest of the movie is yours. That's what I've heard that he does.
And honestly, I don't know if anybody knew, you know, how they did it, but like Star Trek was very similar. They're like, hey, this is your start date from this for this year. You're going to go from this one to this one. We might need this to happen, but the rest of that's your story. You're allowed these characters to play with. That's your toy box. Go. And you know, that's, I kind of think maybe that's how Kevin's doing it.
Smart move. So we'll look out for that. You got anything else, sir?
No, that is it for me.
That's it for me, too. That's
all right. Very good.
Very good, sir.
All right. So, guys, make sure you do check out and listen for Low Blows Chair Shots. It's Kane's every other week now wrestling podcast. We hope we're going to have a guest. Well, a return, not a guest, but maybe we might have a return of his original co-host who's taking a break or coming in just to have a little fun with us. Kane, you've also been talking about wanting to do match watch-alongs.
Which, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. So, yeah, definitely something that'll be fun because just kind of do like some old school matches and kind of check it out on WWE or Peacock and be on the lookout for that. This month for Midnight Movies, we're going to be doing tackling James Bond. So this Wednesday, we're going to have Dr. No dropping. So if you guys are interested, make sure you guys check that out. We're going to do a watch. We've already done the watch along for James Bond or for the Dr. No. But then following that, we're going to have a review for the View to a Kill.
Yep, View to a Kill is going to be a review. And it should be fun. It's your month, buddy. Get to it.
All right, guys, make sure you do, guys, and check us out on our Facebook page and also on our other social media networks. I'm trying to, and I just started my own Twitter page, so I'm going to try to do some background stuff, like what some of the things they do behind the scenes. I meant to start it off tonight with a little pre-game video, but we were having some technical difficulties.
I am currently working on some stuff for the Twitter page. It's just some stuff, but anyway, like Mike said, check us on the social media platforms: Twitter at the Heroes of Silent _podcast, Instagram at the Heroes of Silent. From Mike, from me to you, happy 4th of July, stay safe, and get to be a silent. See you soon.